Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Ches. And yesterday we went a little bit ahead on today's daf, so that we're holding at Omer Abaye. So this is about one third of the way down. So we've been discussing the various interrelationships of three tvachim of empty space and four tvachim of space of schach puzzle. And the machlok is about whether four tvachim of schach puzzle or four amas of schach puzzle is the correct shear for the psul of the sukkah in the middle. So just to remind you, what we're referring to over here is a gap in a sukkah. And the gap runs from the back wall between the two side walls, comes all the way up to the front of the sukkah. The problem that we're discussing is the question whether that gap puts these two sides of the sukkah, makes them into two separate sukkahs, neither of which has three walls. And therefore, it doesn't matter how big the sukkah is. If you split the sukkah in such a way that there's only two walls, then obviously you don't have a kosher sukkah. Now, generally speaking, a gap that is considered to be choshev in terms of the Torah has to be a gap that is three tvachim. And that is a shear in which less than that, we would say that it's lavud. So the question is the halacha of dofen akuma that we've been so used to, which gives us a full four amot of schach puzzle between the wall and the actual beginning of the schach. We had a machlokas yesterday between Rav and Rav, according to one lashon, and between Rav and Shmuel, according to the other lashon, whether the basis of that halacha is that it's telling me the shear of a gap, in this case, between the wall and the beginning of the schach, but if that's the case, it should be the same in the middle of the sukkah. Or is it telling me a new halacha called dofen akuma? Dofen akuma has nothing to do with gaps. It simply has to do with how much we could stretch the top of a wall up to the middle of the building. That's what it happens to be. If dofen akuma equals only four amas, so then it turns out that a gap of four amas won't be covered by dofen akuma. There would be no way to translate that idea into a gap in the middle of the sukkah because there's no dofen there and it has nothing to do with gaps. It only has to do with the dofen. That was the machlokas in which we had two approaches to, one in Surah, one in Narda. In Surah, that was a machlokas between Rav and Rabbah. In Narda, that was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rashi says Shmuel Rav in that order. So now we're coming to some practical implications of that halacha. So Amar Abaye, if you have avir shlosha, and you've got a small sukkah. So now the question is, in a small sukkah, you only have 7 by 7. In which case, in a small sukkah, you also have another issue. You need to have enough of a schach kosher that is going to cover the area of 7 by 7. So therefore, if you have any gaps, if that gap exists, la halacha, you don't have enough schach. I don't care what the gap is made out of, you see. The problem is that if it's not all one giant roof of 7 by 7, so then I've got to take that gap seriously and say, well, now we don't have enough schach. Forget about the walls. It's nothing to do with the walls. Therefore, says Abaye, look, it's going to make a big difference whether we're talking about a sukkah, which is a large sukkah, so it has more than the minimum size of the schach, or whether we're talking about a precise sukkah, which only has 7 by 7. So if you have avir shloshana sukkah gedayla, so let's say you have a gap like this, and you make the gap smaller. Because in a sukkah gedola, all you have to worry about is the question whether you have the proper number of walls. So the gap runs down the middle of the sukkah, but there is no area that is considered halakhically to be a gap, so then you still have your kosher walls. So if I make that gap smaller than 3 tvachim, so then I close it. I don't care what it's made out of. I can close it with schach kosher, or I can close it with schach puzzle. So if I've got a pile of sticks, and I close the area with sticks, obviously it's kosher. How about if I have a pile of spits made out of metal and I close the area with spits? Still kosher. Why not? Because you're saying, but I understand, you're using spits to cover your sukkah? No, I'm not using spits to cover my sukkah. I'm using spits to close a gap so now my sukkah has a proper amount of walls. If you're asking me whether I should sit under the spit or sleep under the spit, that's a different area that we'll talk about tomorrow. But as far as why my sukkah is kosher, why not? It's a sukkah that has perfectly kosher schach, and it's large enough size to be covered by kosher schach. It's got three walls. Tell me what your problem is. The only problem you might have is that you don't want to sit under the spits. Okay, maybe don't sit under the spits. That's to be discussed. The problem is, however, says Abaya, when it comes to a sukkah katana. So therefore, says Abaya, avir shlosha besukkah gedola. If it's a sukkah gedola and you made it less than that size, miato, I don't care what you used for the miato. You could have been miato, but whether it was bekanim or whether it was bishpudim. Now I've got my light back on, my screen back on. Lo have a meat. So then it wouldn't matter whether you used kosher schach or non-kosher schach. But in a sukkah katana, you would have to use kosher schach. So if you used kanim to make the gap smaller, so then it was kosher because now there's kosher schach. So you say, but wait, what about that little gap up there?
What little gap?
The little gap between the kosher schach on one side and kosher schach on the other side. I don't see any gap. But that's because of Lovut. Lovut tells us that there is no gap. Okay? The problem is, however, if you used Shpudim, then you're using Schach Posel, and there it would not be considered to be a Miut. Because if you're looking at the Schach, then you have to consider the fact that you need kosher Schach. So even though there's no gap between part of your kosher schach and the other part of your kosher schach, you cannot include the closed area as kosher schach, right? Because you needed to close it up with non-kosher schach. Bottom line is, you do not have an area of a roofed sukkah of 7x7. And therefore, what good is it going to do you? It's true that even though you don't have enough in the avir to pasul a sukkah, and you don't have enough in the schach posel to pasul the sukkah, but the bottom line is that you do have a gap in the beginning that takes away the amount of 7x7. So therefore, that's your problem. But if you didn't have that problem, so then there would be no problem. Okay, the mashma'ut is that if you had this a little gap in one place and another little gap in the other place, and together, one of them is covered with schach posel, one of them is a gap, that wouldn't be a problem. Because we don't see anything as being chaser from your roof. It's only a problem when we need to close the gap with the schach posel. So this makes it very clear the differences between the issues that we're talking about in the places where we utilize the lovud or where we're simply saying that we don't have an issue. Okay. Now, the question over here is, what if you do have a gap, but it's in the middle of the sukkah, which has been what we've been assuming all along? So first of all, we want to say that what Abaya just said, that you can use lovut in the middle of your roof, and therefore you would have a kosher sukkah of 7x7. That's all very true between the schach and the wall at the side. But suppose you have a gap in the middle that runs down the sukkah, and it's not next to a wall. There the question is lovud a din in mechitzas, or is lovud a din of gaps? If lovud is a din of mechitzas, you cannot apply it to the top of the sukkah. Unless, of course, it was applied to the top of the sukkah right where it meets the wall. But then it's a din in a mechitza. A mechitza is viewed as connected if there's less than a gap of 3. But a horizontal surface, which is a roof, maybe there's no such din of lovud. And it turns out that there actually is a machlokas about this. If the gap is in the middle, now Rashi seems to learn this means if the gap is in the middle of the small sukkah. So then pligi baravacha varavina, chad amar yesh lavud beemtza, v'chad amar ein lavud beemtza. So therefore, it would be, if there's no din of lavud, so then how would you basically close your sukkah if the gap runs down the middle? Now, The question over here is, are we talking about even a large sukkah? Or are we talking about only the small sukkah because we needed to close the gap? From Rashi, the mashmaut is that we don't need lavud to close a gap in a large sukkah. The point is that a gap is not considered to be choshev unless it takes up three tvachim. That's a different issue because three tvachim is not considered to be a insignificant empty space. So therefore, where we're talking about the use of lavud to actually tell me that this is all considered to be one roof of 7x7, then you need to have lavud b'emtza, because only lavud tells me that. The fact that there's not a significant area without tzchach doesn't change the fact that it's without tzchach. But if you have a large sukkah, I don't need to have tzchach. I don't have to have tzchach everywhere, do I? I mean, did you ever see a sukkah that doesn't have any space in it at all? I mean, what are you going to do about all those little spaces between the leaves? Aren't they spaces? So what are you going to tell me, that that's puzzle? No, you look at the entire roofing and you say, do I have mostly tzel or do I have mostly chama? That's what we said all along. The question over here is only where we have the significance of a gap that runs down the sukkah and therefore it could be seen not as part of schach. Okay, so if it's not part of the schach, then if it's a sukkah ketana, how are you going to have kosher schach of 7x7 if you don't have kosher schach of 7x7? So if we have a dinner of lavud that turns this entire thing into one sealed roof, so then that would mean that that empty space in the middle is not considered to be empty space. It's all one roof. So now you just have to see, do you have rov is tzel or do you have rov is chama? That's a different issue. But the lavud creates a single piece. But if you don't hold of lavud in the middle, then the lavud does not create a single piece. In which case, you've got a problem because you don't have schach in a significant area. That's the problem. So if it's in a sukkah gedola, so then the only problem would be that you're splitting into two parts. But if it's in a sukkah katana, you're missing a certain amount of schach. Therefore, Rashi understands that the issue over here of yesh lavud b'emtza is really only important to us where we need to close up the gap in the sukkah that is a sukkah katana. Now, what's this for? Chadomer ain't lavud b'emtza. So this is a question. Is the din of lavud a din in a mechitza, or is a din of lavud a din in connectedness? So my time at the Mandi Omer Yesh lavud b'emtza. Where do we get the idea that there would be a din of lavud in the middle of a roof as opposed to in a mechitza? Because remember when we said before, mechitzin, our halacha l'mashmi Sinai, and we defined, what do we mean by mechitzin? And we said mechitzin has to do with the idea of lavud or good, dofen akuma. Okay, so then it's a din in mechitzin. A roof is not mechitzin. So therefore, what would be the raya that apparently lavud is a din just in connectedness that we address the mechitzin, but would also be true about the schach? The Tanya. This has to do with the sugya that we had back in Erevin. So remember, in Erevin, one of the ways to be matir a mavui, which was open, is you put a korah along the top of the mavui, which is a beam. Put it right across the top of the mavui at the entrance. Suppose you have a korah that stretches from one wall, but it doesn't get up to the other wall. So it's sort of hanging on one wall. Acher. Or the same thing would be true if you have two korot that are attached to the two walls on the side. They come up to each other in the middle, but they don't touch. So one of them is achas yotzit mikotel zeh, v'achat yotzeh mikotel acher, but they don't touch each other, ein nogod zo bizo. So in both cases, the halacha is that if it's pachot mishloshah, we would apply lavud. And therefore, ein tzarich lavi korah acher. You don't have to close that gap, and you have one korah. But if either case, you do not have the korah coming to within three tvachim of the other wall, or you don't have the two korot coming up to three tvachim of each other, then Tzarich Lavi Korachar. So obviously, the din of the gap is true to Lavod would apply even in the middle. Wow. I mean, that's about as good a raya as you could possibly have. That's a Mishnah, the Idah. So if you hold that Lavod is only a din of Mechitzas, how in the world does he understand this braisa? Shouldn't have said Mishnah. Shaine Korot de Rabbanan. He would tell you that the din of a Korah is actually a new halacha. It isn't really based on the normal din of Lavod. It's that the Rabbanan were makil when they created the din of Korah, which of course is entirely the Rabbanan. There's no meaning to the Korah over here because of the deraita you have a Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, you can't use this raya to tell me that there's a din of Lavod and when it comes to a sukkah d'oraisa. And do we have a basis for the other Mandi Amar who holds that Ein Lavud Be'emtza? What's his raya? Oh, this raya is from the Mishnah we just had in Ohalot. So in the Mishnah in Ohalot, it says, Aruba Shebabayit, Uba Poteach Tefach. Now, this is a little bit confusing because the Gemara is leaving out a lot of the stuff in the Mishnah. And as Tosfos says, it's not the derech of the Gemara to bring a full Mishnah in Ohalos, because too many people don't know Ohalos. So we sort of bring just a shortened version, what's no gea. But of course, our Chabura, naturally, are Bekiyim in Ohalos. It wouldn't have been a problem. However, what can you do? We will learn this Mishnah like it was given to the plebeians. What can you do? Anyway, so the piece that we bring from the Mishnah is a little bit misrepresentative because it brings the Reisha and the Seifa as saying exactly the same thing, which is true when you leave out everything else. But anyway, don't let it bother you that we're saying the same din about two different cases, because it's true that there is some of the halachas are the same, and we're not quoting the halachas that are not the same. Okay, so at least sounds funny. So here's what the Mishnah says. If you've got a skylight, and you have a skylight that is your roof, that does have a poteach tefach. So then if you have, let's say, a kezayas min ames, anywhere in the house is completely tameh, obviously, because it's all under one ohel. So any kelim in that house, any people in that house are going to be tameh. But anything that is keneged the aruba, if I've got something that is underneath my skylight and the skylight is open, so then it's not under the roof. Because remember, it's considered to be a separate area. And therefore, it would be tahar. Where's the roof to bring the tuma? In a case where tuma is keneged the aruba, and if I just have a kezayit min amet directly underneath the skylight, so then the whole house remains tahor because the tumah simply goes out through the skylight. If the aruba does not have a tefach, then the halacha, as far as these issues, is exactly the same. If the tumah is in the house, keneged aruba is tahor because what? Because it's not called lavud. There's a hole there, and therefore you're not under the house. But if the tumah is directly underneath the skylight, then the whole house is tahor because it's under a gap. A gap of one tefach? I thought a gap of one tefach is called lavud. So apparently there's no din of lavud when it comes to a roof. And the din of lavud is only said when it comes to a wall, which is exactly what I'm saying over here. So where would we say that a sukkah can utilize lavud? That's only either in the mechitza itself, so that you're making it out of slats, either vertical slats or horizontal slats, or in the mechitza on the top of the mechitza, where it connects to the schach, you can say lavud. Or on the bottom of the mechitza, where it connects to the ground, you can say lavud. But you can't say lavud in the middle of the roof. Because if you would say lavud in the middle of the roof, then this is an absurd Mishnah. What is the meaning of a gap of a tefach if lavud has turned it into closed? There is no gap. It sounds to be a pretty good raya. The idach. So what would you say if you were tiny, you could use lavud even in a roof? Why don't we use it in Masechet Ohalot? Ach, come on. Masechet Ohalot has completely different ideas that are based on the halacha l'meshim Sinai of what the shear of an oil ames is. And over there, it's halacha l'meshim Sinai that there is a concept of a tefach no concept of lavud whatsoever in the ohel, and that's part of halacha l'mashmi Sinai that's not going to apply to sukkah. Halacha l'mashmi Sinai applies to whatever area it's given in. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So now, in the Mishnah we had before, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi gave a practical drasha, and he was talking about the Mishnah. That if you have a roof that collapsed in a house, and instead you put tzchach over it, it's considered to be kosher, which it says in the Mishnah, but he didn't say the shir. Omar Lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi, you gave a drasha, and you did not define completely, and the people are going to walk away with the wrong impression. Paresh, explain yourself. Kach Paresh Abba, when my father, Rabbi Yossi, gave this drasha, he added the shir, and he said, Arba Amot Psula, Pachot Mi Arba Amot Kshera, because he had to explain for sure that people shouldn't misunderstand that. There was another case where we had this, and that was Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, that this fish called an avruma fish is kosher to eat. Why would it be kosher to eat? Because even though this is a very tiny fish, and when you catch a netful of avruma and you put it into your little canning factory, you would think, oh my gosh, I mean, there might be tons of non-kosher little fish mixed in there that look just like the avruma. I can't really make them out. They're so tiny. It's still mutter. Omer lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So here too, that's why we're bringing this here. Rebbe, you've got to explain this because otherwise people will be led to the wrong conclusion. When my Abba, Rabbi Yossi, said this, kach amar Abba, shomakom ploni asura, he would give a specific place, and he would say, the avruma of a certain river is pasul because it gets mixed up with these non-kosher fish that look very similar to that. But shel makom ploni, and then he mentioned another place, it's muteret. And we know that that's true, that actually there are places where a certain species of fish is mutter, and other places where that same species of fish is not mutter, like Abaya pointed out. Ki yehodi omer Abaya, the tzachanta, those were it really means literally the stench. Those were like the herring-like little, but they were like these little fish they used to sell. So tzachanta that comes from Bobby's River. So that's the, sorry, Bobby, that we're sort of making the river. Yes, it's an eponym to our dear Bob, but it is called the Bob River. So the Bob River fish is mutter, because in that fish, in that river, you don't have the little tiny non-kosher fish that will mix with the tzachanta. Well, why is that? Why is it that there are not these small fish there? Is it because the water in the Bob River is very, very strong flowing? And because of that, the duck tame that is similar to the tzachanta is not a vertebrate. And since it's not a vertebrate, it cannot swim against this kind of current. And it simply doesn't have the strength. It's more like a worm. So if it's because it's redife mayim, and therefore the strength of the current is such that it simply can't swim in that river, but that's not true because we know there are other rivers with strong currents and we find them actually in those rivers too. So it can't be because of that. Is it because it's saltyish and the brackish water is just too much for these kind of fish because since they don't have the klipot, so I doctor make him the letle kilpe, it can't protect its skin surface from the salt in the water. But that's also not true. There's plenty of these types of fish that grow in rivers that do have brackish water. The point must be, Mishum de Lomar Betinayu doctor me. Look, there's a whole different issue over here. Fish require a certain type of bottom mud. So whatever silts into the river has got to be suitable for the reproduction of these fish. And it happens to be that the Bob River does not support the reproduction of that fish. I don't know why, whatever. But it's mishum de lomar betinayu dag tame. So therefore, you can rely on the species if you know that it's a location, that it's not going to get mixed up with other things. So that's what my father, Rabbi Yossi, did, the same thing Abaya did. There's obviously a lot of details that you've got to give when you're telling people what is kosher, what's not kosher. Omer Ravina, and Ravina actually pointed out that nowadays things have changed because they built this whole river system of dams and so on in Bavel that changed the course of several smaller rivers. And nowadays, the Nahar Eitan and the Nahar Gamda mixes into the Bab. And since they mix into the Bab, these fish now cannot be collected in the Bab because you've got all of these non-kosher varieties that are similar to the Tzachanta, and you'd never be able to see the difference between them. Okay, now moving on to one of the other issues in the middle of, in the Mishnah, which was the question of the putting schach in the cloister, which Rashi calls a cloister. So you put it around the achsadra. So now the achsadra has got several issues that interest us. One, of course, is the distance of the achsadra to the schach. And that was the question whether we say dofen akuma, where we're using the wall of the house to be the wall of the sukkah, and the top of the achsadra is viewed as just an extension of that wall. Okay. That was the case in the Mishnah. But how about in a case where the achsadra actually extends arba amas or more? Okay, and then we don't have a wall to the sukkah at all, correct? So then we have to consider whether the little pieces of pillars that come down at the edge of the achsadra, are they good for the wall of the sukkah? How about the actual roofing of the achsadra? Would that be able to provide, because of the idea of good achit, which Rashi, remember, always equates, remember we spoke about the Pnei Yoshua, equates with pi tikra yored v'sotein. Would we be able to use that achsadra under any circumstances, even if it were more than 4 amas away from the wall, because of some other heter? Or are we stuck with the walls of the house, and therefore, once the achsadra is 4 amas long, there's nothing to do. We're not going to be able to put a sukkah in the middle of that courtyard, unless, of course, we build a real sukkah with walls and tops and so on. So now the question was, itma. Sichecha gabe achsadra sheyesh la petzimim. So suppose you put schach on one of these achsadras that has these pillars on them, right? Or the, whatever you call it. So it's got these support beams that are holding up the achsadra. And these petzimim are less than 3 tefachim apart from one another. So then, obviously, the sukkah would still be kosher, even though it's 4 amas away from the house, because these petzimim are a kosher mechitza. And a kosher mechitza, even though it's made almost entirely out of lavud, is basically just poles and, you know, 4x4s, and now you're going to have lavud closing the whole thing up. But that is still fine. So we now have a new mechitza, not the walls of the house. But if it does not have any of these petzimim, so it doesn't have any 2x4s or 4x4s holding it up, and it basically just stretches across from one end of the chutzah to the other, can you use it in some fashion or not? Abaya says, believe it or not, it's still considered to be kosher. Now that, of course, is rather strange since the Mishnah says, if it's 4 amas away, it's not kosher. Okay, so tomorrow the Gemara is going to ask what Abaya is arguing on the Mishnah. But Abaya anyway says it's still kosher, and Rava says, no, it's not. It's possible. So how could Abaya say it's kosher? Abaya omer ksheira, very partial. What we say is that pi tikra yored v'sotein. So since that achsadra, if you look at it from the outside, you see that it's got this roofing that ends at the courtyard. This roofing comes to an end with, it's a flat roof, and therefore it has a thickness at the edge. The din of good achis, which is pitikra yored v'sotem, tells us that we can move the edge of that roofing downwards till it becomes a virtual wall, and it closes the ground. And remember, it's not just a mechitza, it's sotem. And if it's sotem, it means that the entire area is closed off. And therefore, we could use it even as a mechitza to the sukkah that we're going to build in the courtyard, because this sukkah will be surrounded by a virtual wall, which is the pitikra. Whereas Rava says, no, it's pasul. There is no such din in this case of pitikra yored v'sotem. Now we're going to talk about tomorrow why the din over here is that according to Rava, there's no pitikra yored v'sotem in this case. Omele Rava labai, and the truth is this is a major machlokas rishonim about whether what the issue is over here, that you can't use pitikra for more than one wall, you can't use pitikra for all walls, and other issues that we're going to be talking about. So Amalei Rava Labaye, Ledidach, look, you're claiming that you could say even on this Aksadra that the pitikra is yored v'sotem. So then why would we not say that afilu hivchit dofena emtza'i, that it should still be completely kosher? Let me ask you something. Look, you built a sukkah in the middle of a yard. Forget about no achsadra. No, you just built a sukkah, okay? You put on top of your sukkah boards, kosher boards, right? So they're less than arba tvachim, and therefore they're kosher for schach and so on. And you've got this nice sukkah, and now your wall fell down. The middle wall falls down. Now you've got a sukkah that only has two walls. I never heard anybody say that that sukkah is kosher, but according to you, that sukkah should be perfectly kosher. Because since I have a roofing that is made out of boards which are kosher because they're less than four tvachim, and there's no gzeras tikra on them, so then we should say that it would still be kosher without that wall, because I should be able to use pitikra yored v'sotem. So now I should be able to... Didn't we have like a whole masechet so far discussing how it is that we're going to be making that third wall, what the requirements are of the third wall, where the walls face each other, and the thing about needing a pas in the middle and putting the pas up to within three tvachim of the other wall, and whether we needed a tzuras ha-pesach. Oh my God. According to you, all of these discussions are not necessarily moot because they would still apply in a case where, let's say, I didn't use boards. I just used, you know, leaves and stuff. Okay, over there, obviously, there would be no pitikra yored v'sotem because pitikra yored v'sotem means exactly what it says. There needs to be a visible and clearly defined edging on the tikra. But I never heard anybody suggest that you can actually do without the third wall. Why? Because you can use the edge of the roof. How do you use the edge of a roof? How come nobody ever said that? Omar Leis, so Abaya told Rava, now wait a minute. I admit that in that case, even I would not say pitikra yored v'sotem. And that's because of another reason. There, it's like we explained before. Modina l'chabahi. I admit that that case is not a case that I could say pitikra. Mifulash. Look, this sukkah is basically the equivalent of a mavui that people can walk straight through from one end to the other. Now, everybody agrees that even though when it comes to the question of mechitza shehagidiyim bokim bo, we had three levels of bekia. Bekia meaning that something simply intrudes directly into the mechitza and thereby cancels it. We had bekia of fish. And we said that when it comes to fish, there's no problem of bekia, and that we would still be using a mechitza teluya over, remember the case we had in Erevin, the case of a balcony that extends over water. The guy was living in Venice. Now he wants to draw the water up. Is that considered to be a mechitza or not? We said, well, what about the fish that are going to be going right through the mechitza? We said that's not considered to be a problem of bekia, and therefore mechitza tluya would be kosher. Then we had the machlokas about whether you need to have something that is lovud even in a real wall that's on the ground. We had that machlokas before, whether mechitza tluya would be matir on the dry land because of that's not considered to be bekia. Okay, we don't paskin like that, and we do paskin that we need lovud in that case, as we within three, in order that a gedi should not be Bokea bebat rosh. But in this case, we're talking about human traffic, bikiat rabim, says a bio where you're talking about human traffic, where people just walk straight through it. You cannot call that a sukkah because it has to be similar on some level to a home. And in this case, where people simply walk through one end and the other end and don't even notice that they're going through your living room, that is not considered to be a dira at all, and that's not your sukkah. There I agree that it's not considered to be a kosher mechitza. So the Gemara wants to know now whether is this machlokas, basically the same machlokas that we had in the sugya in Erevin, about a halakha of an achsadra that's in the middle of an open field. And the question is whether the top of the achsadra gives the achsadra a din of rishus hayochid. So lema abaye v'rava bepluktu the ravish mulka miflaget. So are they actually arguing over here as to whether we say pitikra yod v'sote is the same machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about an achsadra babika? Rav says you can carry underneath your gazebo, you can carry underneath it as if it's a rishus hayochid. You don't have to worry about carrying outside of arba amos, but that's because we say pitikra yored v'sotem. But Shmuel says no, you don't say pitikra yored v'sotem in a case like that. Says the Gemara, no, they're not necessarily connected, because if you're talking according to Shmuel, nobody would say, everybody would hold up. I would also agree that the sukkah, according to Shmuel, for sure is posel. Thereby, I would say, I made it to you that Shmuel would say it's posel. The question is whether, according to Rav, does Rava have to say he argues on Rav or not? That's where we have a machlokas. So keep leaving, I'll leave it to Rav. So since the pashtas, Rav is saying, look, I'm just telling you what Rav says. Rav says, pitikra yored v'sotem, and you're allowed to carry inside of your achsadra. And I'm saying you can say the same thing to make your sukkah kosher. How? What do you say, Rava? Do you say that you agree only with Shmuel? Rava says, no, of course not. Rav would agree to me 100%. But atkan lo kama Rav ha'asam, the reason that Rav said that you can rely on pitikra yored v'sotem by an achsadra v'pika is because the actual mechitzas that are made were made for the achsadra. Now, there's a big difference. What you want to do over here is you want to use the roof of the achsadra, which creates the enclosed space beneath the roof, and you want to call that a closed space to carry in the achsadra. Okay, that's great. I would agree that that's perfectly all right. But what does that have to do with our case? In our case, the closed space is the space underneath the roof of the cloisters. Because when you say pitikra yored v'sotem, what you're saying is that that roofing encloses the area under the roof. But that doesn't mean that it provides a virtual wall for its outside, and you can use that virtual wall for the sukkah. That's ridiculous. So therefore, I say, Rav Amar Lacha, Ad Kad Lo Amar Rav Asim, Rav only made that decision over there because the mechitzot of the achsadra, of the pitikra, is made for the purposes of the enclosure of the achsadra, and therefore we can view it as an enclosure of the achsadra. Masha Inken, over here, this side of the roof of the achsadra should be a wall for a sukkah that's outside of the achsadra? By what stretch of the imagination? So there's a major difference over here. This is the way Rashi understands the sugya. Tosfos understands the entire sugya very differently. But we'll take this. This is the pashas of the Gemara. And the machlokas over here, therefore, is how do we view pitikra yored v'sotem? Is pitikra yored v'sotem actually a concept of the mechitza qua mechitza, or is it a concept of enclosure? Not a din of mechitza, just a din of stima. Now, remember that we made that distinction earlier, because in the case of the stima, this is the way that, again, that the Bnei Yehoshua explained it. In the case of a stima, it has nothing to do with the little animals breaking in or not, because it's seen as satum. A mechitza is not seen as being there if it can't stop things from coming in and out. That's a totally different issue. So over there, we have our problem of love. It is the way that the Bnei Yehoshua explained it there very beautifully. So that's the question. How do we consider pitikra yored v'sotem? Does it provide essentially an enclosure to the space that's under it? Or is it one of the dinim of mechitza that we could simply create a mechitza out of an extending wall downwards, in which case we could extend the mechitza either inward or outward, the same way that we did with the mechitzas habayis when we were using the mechitzas habayis for the sukkah. Everybody agrees that a real wall definitely works for the sukkah, even though it was a real wall for the other side, because that was the case of the house. The house that is at the edge of the roofing that extends in the cloister, we were perfectly happy to use that wall as a dofen akuma to the sukkah. Why? Why didn't we say, but what do you mean? The walls of the house are not made for the sukkah. The walls of the house are made for the house. Because what's the difference? A wall is a wall is a wall. The only question is whether a virtual wall is a wall is a wall. So that depends. If it's defined as a mechitza, so then it's a wall. What's the difference which direction it's made into? If it's defined as pure stima, so then it depends what it encloses. You see, that would be a very profound and fundamental machlokas about the nature of the pitikra yod v'sosei.